My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I want them to love playing for each other. And I want them to love being a Buffalo Sabre for Sabre fans that I think are some of the greatest in the league. We're going to have to earn it. From day one, the work is going to have to start now. We're going to have to earn it. We're going to have to step on the ice when the season starts and earn the respect of everybody.
It's great to be back in North America and playing on home ice in front of our fans. We've been waiting for that all summer, so I can't wait.
Drops it for Alex Tuck. Thompson to the net for a screen. Loose puck. Allen reaching for it. They jam away at it. They score. Tage Thompson pokes it in. Down the right side. Cousins in the middle of the ice. Scores! J.J. Paterka.
Sabres get it back again. Here's Benson in front. What a move! Scores!
Stolen here as Alex Tuck from the right dot. Scores!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Opening night. Catch the fever, Joe.
I'm ready.
You guys both wore jerseys.
I wore jerseys.
And I just didn't think to. I feel bad about that.
See, I saw it in the closet there. I'm like, I should wear that.
Yeah.
If you didn't look at it directly, I could see not thinking about it.
I did the thing where I wore this hoodie that I'm wearing half of yesterday.
Yes.
Like from
I do
three,
this too.
From 3 o'clock on.
Yes.
And then I went to bed. I was taking it off. I thought, I'm just going to wear that tomorrow.
It's like, I haven't got the full day's worth.
Yeah. I warmed it up. I liked it.
I wore it for 6 hours.
Yep.
So that means I have another 6 hours in it.
That's right. So I put it on deck. I was just like, I'm going to go right back to the hoodie that I wore yesterday.
But that, by that logic, you can't wear it all of today.
I probably won't. I'm going to the hockey game tonight.
Right,
I'll take
okay.
it off around the same time.
And then jersey.
So there's like a full day's worth. It's like the stat man games. This would be hoodie days. I only got a half a hoodie day.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to complete the full hoodie day out of this.
Right.
And then I'll throw a jersey on.
It's like a pitcher that you only used for 2 innings the night before. So I got 3 innings left the next day. At least.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the smartest thing anyone's ever said. That's exactly right.
Thank you.
It's a reliever. Yeah.
It's that a reliever.
He didn't pitch too much last night. He's ready to go again right
yeah,
away.
Exactly.
Right back to it.
That's your hoodie, your reliever hoodie.
That's right. And it feels great, let me tell you.
Josh got the slug jersey on in there.
I mean, that's a bold statement. Listen, yeah. He might still be in the meat sweats. He took down the full Dominator burger yesterday.
That's insane.
The whole thing.
I finished it. I can't believe you did that. It's nuts.
Have you talked to him about the full process yet?
Not the full process. I don't think the full process. What's the full process?
Maybe we don't want the
full
process.
I don't
want
the full process. I don't need the post-game analysis.
But the problem was I was hosting, so I couldn't. I could have finished it, I think, in an hour and 15 minutes. I finished it in an hour 47, but I had to wait.
An hour and 47? I didn't realize it was that long.
An hour and 47.
But I had to wait because Zach and I were hosting from 10 o'clock
on. That's fair. I think I could have finished it during the show. I mean, you wouldn't be able to talk, right? They'd just be salivating, you're trying to make some point about Sean McDermott. I just think
that it's funny you said, I could have done it in an hour and 15. That's a normal amount of time to eat a burger.
It's still a very long time.
I just felt like an hour 47 wasn't the true
true
number.
I get
it'd
it.
Be like a period and a half of the game tonight. If you were to order it at pregame, it'd be like half the game.
Oh, it's an all-game sandwich. If you get it tonight, it's an all-game sandwich.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a new food item idea for them. What if I could get some sort of... three-course meal where there's one thing I eat per period.
Ooh.
You just open up the first period, eat that. Open up the second period, eat that. Third period's like an apple tart or something like that.
I'm into that. Yeah. Is dessert going to be, how often are you going to be around for dessert this year? Hopefully more often than last year.
Hopefully, yeah.
Because there were some of those. By the way, I've quit on jerseys. I've reached that stage where I will not get jerseys of players that are on the team right now.
Yeah.
You get burned too many times. I'm wearing right now a Jim Lorenz jersey.
Nice.
That'll never be outdated. I mean, it is outdated because it's from 1975. But it's, yeah.
Yeah, you can't get fooled on it being outdated. You're buying it outdated or whatever.
He can't become unlikable. I don't think.
Okay, to that point, there's one, whatever. This isn't exactly a $1 million question. I think everybody will like Lindy no matter what. That said, if this doesn't go well,
mm-hmm.
Is that like, we did this with Marv.
It's going to be awkward.
And Marv isn't hated for what happened the second time through. Marv is still going to be beloved. But
it
not working out takes a little shine off in the moment.
It will make it feel weird and awkward if it's going really poorly.
It might also make it feel like it's fully impossible and they will never be good.
That's another good point. It will feel like rock bottom again. We just keep digging. We're already at rock bottom, but we have a shovel down there, and it continues to get dug deeper and deeper.
There's plenty of cases to be made that rock bottom was better, and we had more fun for at least one year of rock bottom.
It was the most fun of the drought.
It was.
Easily.
Easily
the most fun of the entire drought. We were happy at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are the knives going to be out for Lindy if they are...
No, I think they'll be out for Kevin Adams or the owner. I mean, there's lots of ways to slice this up. But
so Lindy gets a pass this year no matter what?
Probably.
And maybe to a degree. It will be not just Adams. Well, this will be kind of quasi-Adams criticism. It's not going to be about the coach this year if they fail. It's going to be an indictment on the players. I think it's going to be seen that way more often. Like, your good players are not good enough.
Yeah.
You can't... That's my biggest fear. My biggest fear about them is getting to the end of the year and looking at their roster and going, Tage Thompson's not good enough to be a number one center. And Dylan Cousins isn't good enough to be a number two center. And, Bo Byram's not a number two defenseman. I don't know. Is he the third name to mention? Probably not. But you know what I mean? That their best players are not good enough to be their best players. And that's good. That's a fear. I don't think I get to Lindy.
Yeah, the problem is that just making the playoffs in the NHL is not even supposed to be that hard.
No, not at all.
And the Sabres have the longest drought, of course, which means...
Ever.
Which means, no surprise here, every other team has made it.
Yeah.
So, no matter how good or bad you think those other organizations are,
including
every
teams
other,
that didn't exist
multiple,
when it started.
Yes, right. Teams that have moved and teams that have gone through other bankruptcies, like the Coyotes have made it more recently, and that is incredible.
Winnipeg didn't exist when they made the playoffs.
Yeah, they were the Thrashers at the time.
So that's
right?
that's three, right? Is Utah about to become the fourth?
I mean, Utah's 1-0. I don't necessarily want to start. It's not the opener.
This was very
negative. No, it's okay. It's not the opener. It's the home opener.
It's the home opener.
And I wonder how different we would feel if they hadn't played New Jersey twice a half a world away. Like, if those two games didn't exist,
sure.
Which I want to ask how many people even really saw them. A Friday at 10 a.m., a Friday at 1 p.m., and a Saturday at 10 a.m., and, they're way out in Prague. And, okay, they're playing the Devils. Yeah, I know they're playing. It doesn't feel like an NHL game, but I know that it is. So, all right, whatever. Call me when you're back home. And now they're back home. And the games are underway throughout the league. And a win tonight, I don't want to say it would go a long way, but it might steady the ship, Joe. You know, a win tonight, then you're playing the Panthers, who are good, whatever. It stinks to look in 5 or 6 game increments at the start of a hockey season and say, boy, I really need you to get 3 of these ones, instead of just kind of entering it freely. And You know, I was looking at some of the tweets out of Utah and how excited they are to have a team. And what we've got is this self-fulfilling or this perpetual negative feedback loop where they lose and the crowd turns on them fast. Mm-hmm. And then they lose and the crowd turns on them fast. I mean, it was last year that they stopped saluting the crowd because they were mad at the crowd for wanting a coaching change. That was last year.
Yeah.
And that's about as dark as it can get. For the players to be upset with the fans for being upset with the players.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is that going to happen tonight if they have a bad first period?
I don't know.
Is it just going to start down that road again where they'll boo? There will be boos if they have a bad first period, and then what? I have to worry that the players are going to be pouting for the next month because of that?
I know. I don't think so. I mean, you know, Lindy's been around the block, right? He's been on teams that were bad and probably booed and underachieved, and you know, Lindy's supposed to be the it's not good enough guy. All the players that have played for him before will tell you that we're going to find out who's going to play up to his level and who won't. So I'm going tonight. My wife and I are going tonight, and I'm afraid about how many people will be there. This used to be I would do a Sabres ticket draft, with splitting tickets with a bunch of people, and I would draft in and pick 10 or 15 games, and my first pick was this, opener. Mm-hmm. I always want to be at the opener, no matter what. It's one of my favorite days of the year is the home opener. The Bills home opener, the Sabres home opener, and Thanksgiving. Those are my three favorite days of the year for a long time. And this one has really taken some hits over the years. Now it's a Thursday against the Kings, and I feel like it's must win, or else it's going to get ugly. I am excited to see the new Jumbotron. Right. New Jumbotron. We went over the new food items yesterday with the folks from KeyBank Center, which was cool. Like, there's a lot. The fan experience is better. They have improved that considerably. And you would hope that the on-ice product can follow as well.
Last year's home opener was a sellout. 2 years ago, it was 15,300.
I bet we're closer to that. Last year was a sellout because it was off a year where it felt like they're ready to take the step.
Yeah, it felt like it's finally going to happen.
Right, and this year is almost like, it's almost a redo. It's, no, they were still supposed to take a step, but now we're going to upgrade it coach. And also, got rid of Jeff Skinner, and we'll see if they can replace the scoring there. But,
sorry, I just looked at the home opener from the year before that.
What's the crowd for that? 9,000?
8,400. Oh, jeez. it got really bad there for a year. I don't think it'll be that bad.
Is that Granados?
Wasn't that COVID, though?
Is that Granato's first year? What was that? Granato's first full year?
You might be right. 2021, 22. Yeah, I don't remember. Were there still COVID stuff going on there? Maybe the border was closed. I don't know.
That's a big part of it, probably.
I don't know. I want to be hopeful about them. It's just, you kind of got to work for it, don't you?
Yeah.
You kind of got to work to be, all right, new season, and, let's go. Anything can happen. Nobody goes this long with missing the playoffs. Nobody ever has gone this long missing the playoffs like this. It's got to end at some point. Lindy's back. They're going to be more mature, back to form. It just feels like you're working to that. Especially, man, you're right, the two Prague games, you kind of want to just put them to the side because
I want to pretend they didn't happen.
But they did.
I know.
They did, right? And I think maybe not only did they happen, but, the start of games thing. When you see commonalities between your Prague games and things that have happened in the past, it's very easy to fall into, they're the same old team.
Can I tell you what the Prague games reminded me of?
Yeah.
This might be one of the darkest moments in franchise history. Do you remember when they, during one of the COVID years, the restructure years, they played the Islanders like 800 times?
Oh, yeah.
And they went winless again. Did they go winless? Every game was 5-1 Islanders.
That might be right.
And it was such a dark day. Oh, boy, here's another one. Who do we got tomorrow? The Islanders again. And they were stuck.
And it would always be in a row, right?
Yeah, like three in a row.
Yeah.
I think they might have had three straight 5-2 losses to the Islanders at one point.
Here we go, the COVID year. They lost 3-1, then 3-0, then 5-2. Oh, here it is. This is the stretch. March 4th through March 7th of 2021. That's how many days? 4 days?
Yeah.
They played the Islanders 3 times, all in probably an empty Islanders arena, and they lost 5-2, 5-2, 5-2.
There you go.
That's amazing.
Hey.
I did not remember that happening. They lost by the same score 3 days and 4 days to the same team?
Right. Anytime.
That's amazing.
Anytime going forward you want to talk about rock bottom, that is it.
You know, I don't
that
remember
it. That is it identified.
Because that's the middle of the Kruger losing streak that I just wiped from my brain.
That is rock
that's
bottom.
That's why I didn't remember it.
So they've come a long way since then. I guess.
Oh, from that. I mean,
come a long way from that.
Yeah.
And, you know, going 0-2 is not a death sentence. It can be all right. The question is, how long will it take Lindy to get things on the right track? Whether it's the power play, which did not look good over the first two games, or if it's the top line. Like, I was driving in today thinking about this game tonight and thinking, man, I'm going to really watch Tage. I'm going to really watch and see, can he be worth... When he signs a contract the first year, it's the bargain contract. Oh, my God, I can't believe he's so good. He's so cheap. Is it the best contract in the NHL? And then last year, that was not the case. You know, now he might just be fine, right? If you are a $7 million player?
Yeah, 7.1 or something.
If he puts up, like, you know, 77 points, then that's fine. It's really not what you wanted to sign up for. You wanted to sign up for a bargain. That's what the Sabres are trying to do with all these big, long contracts, is get guys locked up at under market value and hope that they outperform. So, I don't know. With Tage, whether it's Tage or Cousins, Peterka, of course, their best player maybe, or their most exciting player, got hurt in the opening weekend. Not fun. All right, we're not doing a good job of pumping people up.
Did you see what they did? Lindy did to the power play yesterday? It's going to be Zucker's on the top unit. So that's who we're counting on now to score goals,
which,
I guess.
Hey, he's the Skinner and replacement, power. And Skinner was never good on the power play, so maybe Zucker will be.
That's true. But Turk is not on it anymore.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, at this point, power play, try whatever you want. Do whatever. Put five defensemen out there and see if that works.
I just want to watch a team that outshoots its opponent
13-5.
Well, 13-5 in the first period.
That's
just
the thing.
Like, give me that's what I want. You know, you can't ask for wins or losses. But for me, hey, it's the first period, it's your home opener, come out charged up, outshoot the Kings 13-5. That's my standard. You know? That's like a regular NHL opener energy.
Well, here's the thing though. Are they going to be that type of team? What's more likely? They're a team like that can That's kind of what they were 2 years ago, wasn't it, at times?
Yeah,
they just
needed some saves.
Right, but I wonder now, there are some goals, there's some talent, especially in the bottom six, Mittelstadt, Olofsson, who would have scored like 40 goals, or what, 70 points between the two, 80 points between the two that year. They're not on the team anymore. Skinner was off the team. Like, aren't they more likely to be a team that gets outshot 13-5, but we watch them win games 2-1. Aren't they more likely to be that? That's how I'm thinking. Like, what is my standard? What is the standard for them? Like, I want it to be that, but I'm wondering if this is going to be a year like we just watched the Red Wings have last year, or we've seen the Islanders have 7 times in the last 10 years. Which is, that team is not good. But they get to overtime, they win games they shouldn't win all the time. And I look at their numbers at the end of the year, and hey, expected goals for, they're like 26th in the league, but they've got 95 points.
Take it.
That's, to me, like, that's more likely than they're just going to boat race teams.
Well, that's where Lindy is a bit of an interesting part of this conversation. Lindy has been on teams that shut everyone down and played defense and relied on their goalie.
Yeah.
And he's been a part of a team that played for the highest scoring team in the league, that played to outscore you and mock you while you couldn't keep up. So he's coached both.
So what does he think he's got?
Because here's what I would say to that. Granato thought he had a wheeler-dealer team, and he was right.
Yes.
And then they decided to try and pull it back, and that was wrong.
Right.
Isn't the right thing to do to just wheel and deal, baby? They got fans back 2 years ago by being entertaining. That's a big part of it. Granato even said it. We're an entertainment business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Goals will come. He said defense is easy. I mean, that did not prove to be true in the long run. But they got their fans back by scoring. That's how it happened. And I wonder what kind of, you know, message that there is from Lindy on that, from Kevin Adams on that, from anybody on that. Like, hey, we got to get people back, and let's go score some goals. So we'll see. We'll see what they come out as tonight. That's why I want 13-5. 13-5 is a 20-minute exhibition where you show me you're not trying to just, you know, grind out wins 2-1. You're going to try and put on a show at home and, you know, win a game in the first period. Remember going to these games and you'd be disappointed because they'd be up 6-0 after one. They pull the goalie. In the first intermission, you're like, that was great. Should we go home, though?
Yeah.
What a feeling that was, to be disappointed they were too good.
Right.
I mean, it didn't happen a lot, but I remember a Washington game once.
That happened more than...
against, like, Brett Johnson, maybe?
Okay, were they just? Oh yeah, yeah. Were they wearing black and red that year?
Yeah, I think
that
so. Game? Yeah.
I think I remember that
just
one.
Just like six in the first.
Last year was the opposite. Last year was, you know.
Last year was.
I will never forget the Friday night against Philly where I sat down in my seat like at the 18:30 mark of the first period and they were down 2-0.
Last
or maybe
year
3-0. I don't even remember.
Last year's home opener, it was over at 1-0.
Last year's home opener
was one of the worst games you could attend.
What it's was the, it? It was the Rangers early.
It's the Rangers. The Rangers scored and the game was over and they lose 5-1.
5-1. Yep.
And it was, last year was one of those, I'm ready to be back in the building, it's the home opener, one of my favorite days of the year, and they got skunked. It was never close. The Rangers, turns out, by the way, really good.
Yep.
So maybe that's what happened against the Devils.
Do they have any famous home openers? Like what comes to mind? We talked about the Eichel one the other day, about his debut. Is there another, like, what's the all-time Sabres home opener?
I don't know.
Is there not one, maybe?
It's they're not as memorable as Bill's home openers, right?
Sure, right.
Meanwhile, on the out-of-town scoreboard, Victor Olofsson had 2 goals last night for Vegas. So Olofsson, it is funny. I wouldn't dispute anybody that says Olofsson defensively nothing. Skinner defensively nothing. But as those two players, if they continue to play for Vegas and Edmonton and fill the net on good teams, I'm going to put my hand up and say, how come that doesn't work here? Why?
It did 2 years ago.
No, but why is it okay for them to have a role player like that and be good,
I see, yeah,
and this team can't? Like, the Skinner thing is going to be more interesting than Olofsson for me. Skinner, not Lindy's kind of player. Okay, Edmonton, though? He's with the team that was a win away from the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And he's going to play on the second line?
Yep.
We'll see.
They did lose 6-0 last night.
Edmonton.
The Vegas won 8-4.
Tell me Skinner was a -6. That's all I want to know.
Let me see. Olofsson, by the way, 2 goals in part because, like, Eichel had 4 assists. He's playing with Eichel.
You know, he did.
Which that did happen here.
He did that once before. His first 15 goals of his career came on, like, Eichel assisted power play goals.
Yeah. So he's kind of
Eichel 4 assists, huh?
Little Eichel reliant, maybe. Skinner was only a -1 last night, by the way.
4 assists.
McDavid -2. Bust. He's better than McDavid last night.
803-0550. We'll get calls in on your Sabres opener. We've got Bills news, of course. James Cook injured. Curtis Samuel injured. Khalil Shakir did not practice again. So the beat-up Bills going to New York to play the Jets on Monday Night Football, who, of course, have changed their coach. We've got a game tonight. So we'll chop it up. I also found something. Yesterday, we asked and just kind of talked about the idea of how often Josh is scrambling. And there's scramble rate, and then there's throwing on the run rate, which there should be a term for that, right? Like scramble pass, scramble yards, and then scramble pass yards. Found the answer to where Allen stands in how often he is on the move with the ball. That's running it, getting sacked, and throwing it. How often Allen is on the move with the ball, and we can discuss what that means for this Bills offense, because the answer is pretty far at one end. We'll get to that. Mike in Connecticut, stick with us. We'll get your call on the other side as well. We got to get a break in. 803-0550. Happy Sabres home opener day, and we'll, of course, get you ready for Monday Night Football here on WGR.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know, I thought we defended really well. Like the drill we went in, played 5-5, 5-5, we defended well. We were out quick. We had a couple of opportunities to get pucks in the net. We deferred to, you know, not putting it there. I don't care what the drill is. You're going to get something out of it. Like our first penalty kill win faceoff, we don't get it out of the zone. We don't have a plan. Those two defensemen that went back need to have a plan. Like it's, let's execute every play like it's a game. So those little plays mean something. They got to mean something to everybody.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. I am excited to hear the, you know, greeting for him tonight. So we meet the team. Meet the Jumbotron. They should introduce the Jumbotron. They should give it a name. Jumbie.
Jumbie?
And our newest member of the team.
Well,
Jumbie. No? All right.
Isn't the Jumbotron kind of introducing the Jumbotron, though?
Fair.
Sounds like a bad remake of Gumby.
Because sure. Like you would put the Jumbotron up on the Jumbotron, and then you get that thing you get like when you put two mirrors in front of each other where it looks like it's just never ending.
That's funny.
I think they
should do that. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. The Bills injured heading into Monday night. The Jets looking to get a boost from firing their coach. So, full understanding that Sal, yesterday we were talking to Sal. We'll talk to him at 7 o'clock too about all the injuries. That Sal, you know, careful about the internet doctors versus the actual doctors when talking about Josh Allen and the concussion protocol and how that went down. That said, there's one internet doctor on the Bills that is pretty good about watching an injury. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Dr. David Chow's another one, Pro Football Doc, sometimes watches an injury and says, like, well, that might be this or this or this. And I think there's the possibility to not rule that the injury is that, but, oh, okay, that kind of torque on the ankle is consistent with this kind of injury. Thigh doctor, who does a lot of the Bills, looks like James Cook could be like a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. Maybe a turf toe kind of thing, week to week. So 1-3, maybe. Maybe he comes back from a quicker. And then on Curtis Samuel.
It was the play where he was going out of bounds that he capped to, where like he slammed his toe first on the turf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, well, keep an eye on that on James Cook. I am, you know, hopefully he can come back, but it's interesting. We'll see. Then the other one is that Curtis Samuel shows up on the injury report. And immediately I saw, well, I guess he has been hurt. He has not been on the injury report. He has not been getting treatment for the turf toe he had in the beginning of the season. Whenever we asked Sal about that in weeks past, it's, is he working on something? Well, he's not on the injury report. Well, now he is. So does that mean something has been re-aggravated? Is it just different? Are they deciding to whatever? So two things to keep an eye on.
How many times, though, at the end of a year does a player say, I had an injury the whole time?
A lot. It's
that
not,
couldn't have been the case here?
I think Sal's point is about like during the season, you have to be on the report if you're getting treatment for an injury.
Well, I'm not saying he was getting treatment, I guess. Just what? How is turf toe? Is turf toe just something you deal with and there's really nothing you can do? Like, I don't know enough about the injury. Yeah. I'm just saying it's possible to me he's been dealing with something that you can't really do anything about. You just have to wait until it heals.
Yeah, that might be right.
And then you wouldn't be getting treatment.
I'm thinking back to when Gabe had the ankle injury he played with through the whole year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, was he on the injury report? Was he really affected? Because at some point, and this is Gabe's third year now we're talking about, maybe not last year, but the year before, you know, oh, well, no, he didn't take that step forward because he had the ankle injury earlier in the year and that stuck with him the whole year. Like, sometimes I think we might want to use, not to say it's not wrong or right, but we might want to use injuries to explain a lack of production. And right now we're trying to do that with Curtis Samuel, and now he's on the injury report.
Yeah.
So now do I have to just give him the pass if there's no production and no involvement in the passing game?
Like, this is the most elementary way to do this possible, but just Googling turf toe treatment, what comes up is just, it's just rest, ice, and elevation. That's it.
Yeah.
So if that's all it is,
that might be
then
why.
To me, he's had turf. He could have had turf toe the last month and not been on the injury report.
803-0550. On Bills Jets, join us, and on the Sabres season opener in the U.S. I know they played in Prague twice. Home opener tonight against the Kings. Mike in Connecticut. Good morning, Mike. Hello, Mike. Uh-oh, we lost Mike. Oh, there he is. Wait, how about now?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Morning. Yeah, gotcha, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
So I wanted to talk about Kincaid real quick. So I think going into the season on paper, Kincaid was our number one. And many people, including myself, thought he was that next tight end that was going to take over the league. He was basically supposed to be like that Cole Beasley safety valve for Allen, and that connection hasn't just been there. And I just want to know, like, where that tight end matchup nightmare is. You literally see on, I think it was right after Kincaid was drafted on Embedded, McDermott talks about Kincaid having the best hands they've seen in the draft in the last 8 years. And I don't know, there's numerous third downs that Kincaid's not even on the field. It feels like everything is just forced. And I truly feel if we're going to win Monday, Kincaid has to have a huge game. Cook and Shakir, obviously, they established themselves last year. But I think their production through the first five games, or I know Shakir didn't play last game, has been more than I thought it was going to be out of them. And those are going to be two big losses if we don't have them on Monday. And obviously, it doesn't look promising. It maybe looks like Shakir's trending in the right direction, but I don't know. This game is huge. I live 8 hours away from Buffalo, so I am going to be at the Tennessee game I'm going to, but I am not far from MetLife. I live in Connecticut, so I'm going to go to that game as well. But it's just, I don't know. Last year, obviously, we were 6-6, but to me, this is a big, massive game. If you beat the Jets and you have basically two games up on them with the tiebreaker compared to your 3-3, they have the tiebreaker. It's just, I don't know. The defense is already phenomenal. They have so many good guys on that side of the ball. It's just, I don't know. I think we need to see that matchup nightmare come out. And I don't know. I would love to see Kincaid have a monster game because that production hasn't been there.
Mike, hang on the line. As you're talking about Kincaid, I thought about a comparison that, I mean, actually you can pick. And Joe, you can pick this one as well. Can I make a comparison that it's a little bit like, wait for a minute here as I get all the way there, Dahlin or Power, where it took a little bit of time, right? You could see this player is good, but is this player what they're cracked up to be? Is Dahlin's a generational defenseman on this team who is supposed to be great right away, and there's no doubt there's ability, but he's not controlling games. You're not quite getting what you thought you were early in his career. And Owen Power might still be this, right?
Yeah.
No doubt this player is a good player. Was this player worth a number one overall pick? But and I know I'm comparing number one overall picks to Dalton Kincaid, who's taken like 25th or whatever. But to me, the point about Kincaid is no one thinks he's not good. It's just, you know, Mike, you mentioned it there. McDermott says the best pass catcher in the last 8 years, if that's the quote that he said on the Embedded or whatever. And I'm like, he might not be the best pass catcher in his draft. There are a bunch of guys that have been very, very productive since then. So I feel like Kincaid is starting to be a point we're working a lot of, you know, this is not going the way it's supposed to have gone for a guy taken with the praise that he got when they took him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those comparisons to Dahlin and Power might be rough, but I feel like it's the same wing. It's the same branch of, I thought I'd be getting more out of this.
And it still could even be good without living up to the expectations of...
Yeah.
The name Travis Kelce was probably tied to him far too many times.
It's been tied. Isn't it tied to every single tight end that's drafted that can catch a ball?
Probably.
Like, I mean, isn't that also Kyle Pitts? Kyle Pitts is a great example. Kyle Pitts supposed to be a matchup nightmare. Holy cow, a unicorn. And it's not happened.
But his production going down this year, like that's weird, isn't it? Like, that is not, like, slow progression. You know, he's pretty good. Okay, he's still not the best tight end in football, but look, another, like, he everything's down for him. Except, actually, you know what's funny? He's maybe the one player on the team where his average depth of target is up by almost, by 2.5 yards. Hmm. So, you know, 9 versus 6.5 last year. So, I don't know what, if that explains anything here, but I'm with Mike that, like, he was, especially the hands for me, that was always the thing for me, is his contested catchability was like one of the best in the draft when he was coming out. And he's been good at that, but it's not been, I mean, I've got a couple of moments this year already where like, oh, I think I want that to be a catch. It's tough, but yeah. Come on. This is supposed to be your thing, is nothing hits the ground. You bring everything in. And because if I'm not getting that, I'm not getting enough of all the other stuff. I'm not getting enough of, oh, he's beating the linebacker up the seam. That's happened 2 times in his career. It happened on Sunday when Allen missed him. And it happened, what, in the playoff game against Pittsburgh? He scored a touchdown like that?
Yep.
Is there another one? Like, that's a play that I thought we'd get some of. And then I also thought what we were getting was, well, this is going to be a lot of the Cole Beasley plays, too. This is 3rd and 5, and he's going to get me 6 yards. He's going to run the underneath routes. He's going to sit down in that zone, and he's going to be that type of player for them, too. And maybe he's been displaced as that by right. Shakir.
Maybe. That's the other thing, the redundancy of Kincaid. He is a hybrid between Knox and Shakir. Right? He's
kind
of,
yeah.
He's the
yeah.
tight end. He's the slot guy. Think of him like a receiver. And we did the numbers, what, last week? If you think of him like a receiver, he's like 50th in yards and catches since mm-hmm. he's been drafted. 50th.
Right.
That's not good at all for a guy that you thought would be, especially a guy that's playing in a Josh Allen offense as pass heavy as they had been last year. Yeah, I don't know the answer on Kincaid, what to really do here. 2 for 34 against the Texans. It's puzzling. And I don't know if this is the week to get him more involved.
That's the thing. I don't like the idea of he's someone you need to work to get involved.
Right.
I thought he is supposed to be the guy you don't have to do that with.
He's supposed to be so good that at the end of the day, we say, like I'm kind of being tongue-in-cheek here, the way they did with Diggs, like, well, it's really too bad they forced the ball to Diggs all the time. Well, they didn't. It just went to him because he was always available.
Right. That's the thing.
And that's what Kincaid, you would hope, would become is, I mean, Josh has to throw it there. How could he not? He keeps winning his matchup all the time.
That's the concerning thing about the Bills is that it feels like to me, maybe outside of Shakir, they have to work to get their weapons involved.
Well, part of it is, and this might be, as I make another Saber comparison, sorry, it's Saber's home opener day, so I'm just going to be heavy on Saber's comparisons. One reason they got rid of Skinner, one reason they traded away Mittelstadt was they thought they had too many of the same players, and they want to get a bottom six makeover, right? A little different look throughout their lineup. It's something Paul says a lot, too many of the same players. Right now, what the Bills have is too many guys that can play the slot and not enough that can play the outside. Right. Steve Smith, NFL Network,
yeah,
just had a thing about Keon Coleman. It's like, he looks pretty good so far. You know what they should do? They should put him in the slot.
Right.
Which is what a lot of people thought they should do. That now I've got 3 guys yeah. that can all play the same position. Coleman, Shakir, Kincaid.
Samuel. It's like 4.
Yeah, like, all right. It's odd.
It was right there, sitting there the whole time.
Yeah.
It was brought up all the time. Like, what? Who's going to be able to split out wide and get open? I've got maybe 4 guys that have really good potential inside, in the slot, to be productive slot players.
And very limited options on the outside.
It was like, do I even have one on the outside? Yeah. And so far, like, Coleman maybe feels like a half a point for that.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the phone call. And enjoy the game on Monday. You're going. Joe's going. Say hi to Joe. He'll be the one wearing yes. a Sabres goat head jersey.
Or a Tyrod jersey.
You wearing Tyrod?
I haven't decided yet. Right. I have a red Tyrod jersey.
You got to wear that.
He's on the other team, though.
That's true.
What if he comes in?
That means
now
people
what?
Won't get mad at you.
I'd be like playing both sides, kind of.
A little bit.
Right. Can the Jets fan get mad at me? Like, oh, wait, look. Taylor.
Yeah.
He's a Jet.
I just follow Tyrod. I've got 10 Tyrod jerseys.
I'm just right. That's it. I'm actually not a Bills fan. I'm just a Tyrod follower.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. When we return, Josh Allen's very odd answer about the concussion evaluation.
Obviously went into the tent, and I can only control what I can control. And what we talked about there, they deemed me cleared to play, and that's kind of what happened. So that's as deep as I'll get into it.
Josh Allen on what happened in the blue tent on Sunday. I don't really like that answer. If I'm judging, I can only get the way he trails off is that's as deep as I'm going to get into it is like, I don't want to talk about it. And I mean, I don't know, maybe he's tired of the speculation. 2 weeks ago, he made a point to bring up that he's not talking bad about Diggs when he's saying things. So maybe he just doesn't like speculation. But the answer there,
I feel like that answer fuels speculation.
Yes, I think so too. For someone that is very good at putting down everything and not talking, not really giving away anything in press conferences and being very, whatever, you know, political or however you want to say, he's very walk the line, never steps in anything bad. To say that's as deep as I'll get into it, and with that tone, I don't know, that's an odd answer to me.
It sounds like the answer. This is the speculation part of it. It sounds like an answer of somebody that doesn't want to step in it. That doesn't want to say something that can get him in trouble later.
Right? Now, and I've never had an NFL concussion on a field as a quarterback or been thought to have had one.
Yeah.
But one answer you'd say is like, no, I was fine the whole time. I walked in there, told everybody I was good to go, and then came out. Like, that seems like the answer you would give if you felt fine the whole time.
Right.
And you'd wasn't anything. I felt fine.
The only real question at hand here is about the concussion test. So I just don't know what the downside is of just saying I had a concussion test and I passed it.
Yeah.
I don't know what's the downside of just saying that.
There's such a passive voice to it. I obviously went into the tent. I can only control what I can control. What we talked about there, they deemed me cleared to play, and that's what happened. That's as deep as I'll get into it. Like, that's, and listen, players want to play. Maybe he would have said the same thing if they deemed him unworthy, right?
Yeah.
You can't go back in. And then he says, well, we talked about they didn't clear me to play, and that's what happened. That's as deep as you might not be any different. Maybe he's just simply saying, I was passive in the process. They said I'm good to go. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the video on the field, of he appeared to be in a position where a guy should not come back.
Right.
Because the test isn't, we deem you look like you're okay. It's, we deem you did not suffer a concussion. In which, you know, have you ever heard an interview with a player talk about how they get one and they're trained? Or they think, how can I make it look like I didn't? Like, he points to his chest. To me, that might be, uh-oh, I had my bell wrong. I feel good right now. I don't know. The whole thing is scary. It's scary. So I hope everything's on the up and up and everything's good to go. So, Sal, when we get back, we'll ask him about the other injuries. James Cook, Khalil Shakir, matchup with the Jets, how to get Khalil Shakir more involved. And then, true scramble percentage. Have that for you. Where does Josh Allen rank on not just running the ball and scrambling, but scrambles that lead to passes? How often is he leaving the pocket to scramble as compared to other quarterbacks in the NFL? Get you his ranking next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.